Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Just before we get into today's message, just want to encourage us around the blessing we currently live in. And this week I had somebody contact me relating to last week's sermon, which was with Pastor Charlie. She spoke a message about the veil being thin. And it was a powerful message. And this is what this person said. They said, and it was from America. It was someone from America. They said, "I listened to Charlie's sermon twice already. What a cracker. Love what she said. Very, very good. Think I might need to listen to it a third time. Wow." Then I sat there and I read that and I thought, we are so blessed as a church, as a community. Every week we get great messages. We have a great kids team that teaches our young people, our children, the ways of God. We have a youth team. We can't get familiar with, you know, 10 salvations and, oh yeah, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Like, this is the future, future mums, future dads, future families. When we're gone, they're going to be taken over. You know, we have amazing volunteers every week that serve and give. And on Monday night, I got to spend time with our worship leaders and encourage them and to hear their hearts when it comes to worship, which is so powerful. And I think what happens as a church, we have to be so careful of treating blessing as familiar. Because when you're in it every week, you start to get familiar. I know this because my son, as an example, he's 3.5. I love my son with all my heart, but he is getting blessings that I never got. He's getting treats that I never got. Get this, it gets to the point where sometimes when I pick him up from daycare, which on Monday afternoon I'll pick him up from daycare, and sometimes I will give him a reward to get him to get to the car from daycare. Yeah, good old bribery. I get him a lollipop, and it's gotten to the point where I said to him the other day, "Oh, Daddy has a treat for you if you come down and get in the car." And he said, "Daddy, it's not a lollipop, is it?" His standard is so high now that any other 3.5-year-old getting a lollipop is now his, "That's not good enough for me." When I was a kid, a lollipop was like, you know, a once-a-week treat from the corner shop, maybe. And he's living in the glory. And I think it's just sometimes we have to be careful of this. And as a church community, I've spent time this week and this morning even. We have our annual AGM board meeting later today. And I do a senior pastor's report where I go through 2022 to 2023 and I report it to the board. Don't know if you know that, but that's part of our non-for-profit requirements. And I was just going through all of our Sundays, all of our different highlights of 2022. And I'm thinking, we are so blessed. All the things that God did, all the things that happened, all the lives that were impacted. Thanks, Kayla. And I'm like, we have to make sure that we are thankful. There's my pastoral encouragement for you. But please be thankful. And the minute you know you're getting unthankful is when you start getting critical. And you start thinking, oh, a lollipop? Oh, is that all? When the reality is, a lollipop is awesome. So as a church, hey, we just got led in worship. How awesome. What a privilege to have our musos volunteer and use their skills to lead us in His presence. We can drop our young people off to the kids' ministry for free, and they do it for free, and they get to raise up our kids in the ways of God. How awesome. Our hospitality workers are making you coffee for free. Well, you're paying for the coffee, but they're working for free. So let's make sure that they all do it unto Jesus, and we make sure that we have the Lord's heart, and we say thank you, and we honor, and we appreciate, because the Lord has blessed us abundantly. Can I hear an amen? And if you don't think that, go check out some other places, and you'll find that our church is very blessed. And you'll come back going, whoa, our church is very blessed. I'll let you read through the lines. But anyway, let's get into it. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to do something significant. This morning I want to speak about the theme of God is more than enough. Our God is more than enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, my God is more than enough. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 13, verse 23 and 24. Numbers 13, verse 23. We aren't a perfect church, but we're a blessed church, amen? And that's what we've always got to remember. Our Lord, our God, is a God of more than enough. In 2004, I was really considering going to Bible college. I wasn't too sure about going. It was going to be a cost. It was going to be a step of faith. Since the age of four, or of a very young age, I had felt the call of God when it came to ministry and when it came to working full-time for God. I didn't know how it looked, but I felt that since a young age, a sense in my heart. And my dad wisely said to me, when you finish school, I want you to go and I want you to work in the world for a few years before you get into full-time ministry. And he said, why? Because you're going to go and learn how the world works. You're going to see how people live. You're going to see how people work. You're going to see how society functions outside of a church world. So I went and I became an insurance broker for 3.5 years. And I worked in a cubicle and I got paid very little. And I'd done a traineeship and I learned a lot of lessons. And when I came to the end of that season, I felt my heart stirring. And I said, Lord, I feel like I need to go to a place of training. But I wasn't sure. And at my place of work, I was starting to get to the place where I got a yearly bonus. I started to get to the place where my traineeship type money was coming to an end and I was going to get big boy pay, as I would probably put it. And I remember seeking the heart of God, saying, Lord, do you want me to go to college or not? Where do you want me to go? I was looking at colleges in America. I was looking at Bible colleges in South America. I was looking at colleges in England. I was looking at Australian Bible colleges. I was thinking, Lord, where should I go? And I wasn't sure. And I remember I walked out and I was 22 years old maybe. And I walked through those back doors and there was a lady in the courtyard who I've never seen before and I never saw her again after this Sunday. And she said to me, she said, young man, God is saying you need to go to a place of training. He is calling you to go and be trained. And I went, what? Okay, God's trying to speak to me. And it was the very season of me trying to figure out, should I go or not? I hadn't told anybody, but obviously the Lord sent her to come and to give me a message, which was a message of direction. Anyone ever had those supernatural moments? I never saw her after that. I don't know if she was an angel. I don't know if the Lord sent an angel or whether it was just a prophetic person that he sent. But I went and I started Bible college. It was a college in Sydney. And I would, on the weekends, I would drive back down and I would do youth ministry. I was a youth pastor. And then during the week, I'd drive to Sydney and do Bible college through the week. I had four expenses at the time. Well, I had more than four, but I had four main expenses. I had my college tuition, I had my tithe, I had my petrol, and I had my, what was the fourth? Petrol, college tuition, tithe, and rent. I was renting in Sydney. Just those four alone. By the way, I was working two jobs, trying to pay for college, trying to pay for doing ministry in that season. And I still, just based on those four things, was going backwards by $50 a week for rent, for petrol, for tithe, and what was the other one? For college, for rent. I didn't have any money for spending, for food, for clothes, for socializing, for my phone bill. Back then it was like prepaid text messages. It's a long time ago. And I remember thinking, Lord, I am working two jobs, I'm doing my best, but on paper I'm going backwards just to try and pay my bills. You know that the season of those 3 years of Bible college, you know that I never in my account was negative. You know that on paper it made no sense, but in the kingdom I was supernaturally blessed. Do you know that when it's God's will, it's God's bill? Yeah? And so when it comes to kingdom principles, when it comes to the seasons of God, there are seasons of faith. I was being a good steward of my money. I was working hard. I was doing everything I could, yet I was going backwards, yet I was going forwards. It was a season of the Lord showing me that He is the God of more than enough. Let's read Numbers chapter 13, verse 23. And when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. Verse 24, that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites had cut off there. Has anyone ever seen a cluster of grapes so great that two men had to carry them? Have you ever seen a Woolworths worker bringing out such a great cluster of grapes that two of them had to carry it on display? Good luck getting that through your self-checkout. That is a lot of grapes. This is the fruit and the blessing of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 4. I have missed one announcement, actually. I just remembered. Actually, who wants to know what our miracle offering was this year? Our celebration offering. This year we took our celebration offering up and the church was greatly blessed. Well, let's tell you this morning, if Chloe can put it up on the screen. This year the church gave $55,434.12. Thank you for everybody's generosity. Thank you for going above and beyond. Thank you for those who stepped out in faith. And I pray God's blessing will return to you many times. But I'm always blessed by our church. I'm always blessed by how much the church gives. And I want to thank you and honor you as part of our church family. It means we can put it towards the things we talked about. And there's a whole bunch of projects. And so that's going to be great in the months to come. You'll start to see some work being done and blessing people around the world as well. Let's get back to Luke chapter 5, verse 4, says this. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled their boats so full that they began to sink. Then Jesus said to Simon in verse 10, Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed them. So we see an example of giant grapes, and then we see an example where these men were fishing all night and seeing nothing, and then with one word from God, one moment of obedience, they cast out again under the direction of God, and it says that there was so much blessing that their nets started to break. Their nets started to disintegrate and fall apart. And they thought, let's get the other boats to help us. Let's find the solution. They went to natural things. They got the other boats. And the blessing was so great that it started causing the boats to sink. The blessing was destroying the boats. The blessing was destroying the nets. In other words, the blessing was destroying the containment. When the blessing of God is poured out upon our lives and we try and just hold it for ourselves, it causes us to start falling apart because the blessing is called to be a blessing of overflow. And if you try and hold it for yourself, if you try and hold your revelation just for you, or your skills just for you, or your energy just for you, and you forget to give out and to bless and freely I've received, freely I give, and you forget to do this, you start to realize my boat is sinking. Why would God bless in such a way that created a mess? Why is God's blessing so heavy that it actually started to destroy the things around it? There's something in this. Let's look at Matthew 14, verse 18. Matthew 14, verse 18, it says, Bring them here to me, said, this is Jesus. And he directed the people, sit down on the grass, take the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So you're looking at what? Adult with a husband, with a wife and 2 kids, maybe 20,000 people. And a supernatural blessing of the Father is poured out. And it says that once they ate, they were satisfied. But did the blessing stop? No. The blessing kept going even once they had been full. But why would God give 12 basketfuls of blessing above and beyond? In the Middle Eastern sun, what good is that? Have you seen fish in the sun? Have you noticed how quickly it turns a bit stinky? Why would God be so wasteful? Isn't it better that God just gives you what you need? No. The Father's heart is a heart of overflow. And not just a couple of crumbs left over. A ridiculous amount of leftover. 12 basketfuls of bread and 12 basketfuls of fish left over in the Middle Eastern sun. There were no fridges back there, I don't think. I think it was a matter of what you got, you ate, and it went off pretty quickly, so you made sure you ate it as soon as you could. Well, the anointing and the blessing of the Father is this. That he is a God of more than enough. We become people of just getting by. Yeah. We become people of need and crisis, and that's fine. God will meet you at your need, and he will listen to us in times of need. The Bible promises that. But we have to understand that the heart of the Father is actually bigger than that. Yeah. Yeah. The heart of the Father is actually a heart of overflow. Genesis chapter 17, why don't we turn there together, verse 1. When you got it, why don't you tell me you got it? Is this okay this morning? Yeah. Holy Spirit, help us today. May our hearts be open, may our minds be open. Open our ears to your voice, open our eyes to your works. May we hear your voice afresh and break off any chains and break off any discouragement and let your fire overflow us today. Verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and you will greatly increase in numbers. The word for God Almighty here is the Hebrew word, El Shaddai. Why don't you say, El Shaddai? El Shaddai means this, the God who is more than enough, more than sufficient. The Lord appears to Abram, and he firstly says, I am God Almighty, I am El Shaddai. I am not just the God of enough, I am the God of more than enough. Here's a question. Why didn't God just give the Israelites grapes that could fit into their side satchels? Why is it that it was so massively dramatic that two grown men had to carry huge grapes? Because he is El Shaddai, more than enough. Why is it that when the fishermen were trying to get a catch of fish, and they would have just ideally wanted enough fish to fill the nets, but don't break the nets. You break the nets, you break my business. It's a massive discouragement if the equipment that I've got starts to fall apart. Therefore, just give me what I need. And God says, let me mess this up a little bit with my blessing. I will cause the nets to overflow, and then I'll cause the boats, even when you try and get other boats in, to overflow to the point of sinking. Why? Because I am El Shaddai. I am the God of more than enough. Why didn't God just create enough miracle for the people to be fed loaves and fishes? Why would the Pharisees have been upset about the leftover waste? Because he is El Shaddai, more than enough. And he is not limited to the nets of man, or the boats of man, or the baskets of man, or the strength of man, trying to carry grapes. His normal and his heart is one of overflow. Can I hear an amen? And I pray this morning that our hearts, whether you're online or you're here in the room, that you hear for your spirit and for your family and for your circumstance that he is not a God of just enough. Listen, we have to break the poverty mindset. We have to break the poverty mindset over generations, over our city. We have to break the poverty mindsets over our hearts. You'd be amazed. More people have left the church over the years whenever you talk about money than any other service. Because people have poverty mentalities. That's why they get funny with money. They have closed hands, not open hands. And the Lord, the Father, says this morning to his people, us and anyone who's listening, I am a God who is El Shaddai. It is actually my name. Therefore, it is who I am. Therefore, I cannot change. Therefore, let me do this in your life. I am the God Almighty El Shaddai. Do not limit me by your nets. Do not limit me by your boats. Do not limit me by your circumstance or your experience. Don't even limit me by the preacher's preaching. Understand that I am God Almighty. Oh, this is good preaching, guys. This is feeding back a bit up here, guys. This is something that we can't be. This is the night I don't want the lollipop. This is good. This is go home and listen to it on the podcast until you get it in your spirit. Listen, where were the times in our lives where God did more than enough? Where are the testimonies of God in his church, in his people, where we were embarrassed by his blessing? In 2020, my wife was pregnant with our firstborn. And I had an old beaten up car, an old Nissan X-Trail, 2004, I think it was. It was a faithful car. It was a good car. It was a car that I was happy with and would have kept to the day it died. But when a baby is on the way, priorities start to change. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, Paris noticed in particular. And my wife started to say to me, honey, I need a car that's going to be safe for our baby. And I said, my X-Trail is safe for anyone's baby. Don't you worry, baby. It's all good. No, we need a new car. Oh, okay. Now, we had two things that we were looking for in our new car. My wife, if you know my wife, well, she likes the finer things of life. So she wanted a car with a German badge. Me being me and spending many years driving a two-door green Toyota Starlet Max, 1.3 litre manual, 13 inch mags, a tiny little faithful car, but a tiny little car. And I did that, used that car for many years, but it got me to a place where I thought, I want to get a manly car next time. So I actually went from that to a brand new, a Holden SS Commodore V6, 6 litre. Went from 1.3 litres to 6 litre ute, black ute. I really overcompensated for that one. I mean, I could flick the back of that car out. That was great. The power of that thing was amazing. Drive safely. Young people, drive safely. Anyway, that car was too expensive. It was 6 litres. So I just got rid of that thing and I got an extra. And that thing was faithful. And we got to 2020 and I thought, okay, my wife wants the German badge and I want the man car. I want a car where I can feel like I'm a man driving it. No offense to anyone, any men driving small cars. I've done my years of that. And I remember, I want a car I can feel like I have road presence. And if I encounter another car, I'm going to be okay. And we looked around and we researched and we went on carsales.com and we did all the things. And it was hard to find a car because either you get a German badge that was small that we could afford, or you would get a not German badge and a bigger car that you could afford, and there wasn't this crossover. And then I found this car, and it was a Mercedes-Benz Ute 3-litre V6. Now, any car people in the room, turbo diesel. So any car guys in the room, you know what I'm talking about. It had power, it was diesel, 0 to 106.5 seconds, which isn't bad for a big ute. Dual cab, we could fit a baby seat in the back, and it had the German badge. I thought, oh, okay, this is good. Our budget was in the 40s, so in thousands of dollars, in the 40s, which might sound like a lot to our young people, but you're getting this an extra on now and just paying in the 40s. Car prices are definitely up there compared to years ago. We went to the Mercedes-Benz dealership. And this is just before COVID. This is January of 2020. And we go in there and we negotiate. And not only did we negotiate, they agreed to put free side skirts on the ute, which is great when you have a baby because you can get up because it's a high car. Even now my son has to jump down. We got 3 years of free servicing, which equaled $3,500 worth at the Mercedes dealership. And we got something else included, but I can't remember. And we negotiated it, and we got it. I won't tell the exact figure, but it was in the 40s. And it was a 2018, we got this in 2020, so it was 2 years old, it had 7,000 Ks on it. It still had the new car smell. Ah, yes, yes. I can still smell it now. Now it smells like toddler, but back then it smelled like... smelled like couples with no kids. Yeah. Smelled like no responsibility. Freedom. Date nights. What should we do tonight, honey? We can do anything we want, baby. It's all good. Sleep. It smelled like sleep. Every night of the week. It smelled like unlimited gym time and family of, you know, just, oh, let's go for a bushwalk today all day because it's just what we want to do. Then we had a child and it smelled like vomit and sleep was gone. It smelled like tiredness and screaming and nappies. And you look on the floor of our car now and there's crackers all over the floor. Mostly from my wife because she's pregnant, she's eating. No, it's. Yeah. Anyway, my son and my wife are watching online, so hi. I love you guys. You know, we drove out of that dealership and we had the car insured, and the market value of the car, we got it for, I'll tell you the exact number, we got it for $49,000, okay? It was insured for $80,000, market value. If I would have crashed on the way home, I would have made $30,000. And I thought about it. I did. I thought about it. I have a few times. Please don't go crash into my car, because they'll hear this and I won't get any money. We were pastors. My wife doesn't work for the church. Pastor's salary. My wife was studying to be a teacher. And God blessed us in such a way that we could get a family car, that we pay what you pay now for a, you know, a Hyundai Tucson. No offense. No, no. That's what Pastor Joel drives. I hear Alex gasping in the room. And then we get to drive a car, which is actually more than enough. A car that was $30,000 more than what we paid. Please don't let the insurance company hear this. But you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where the Lord was like, I'm not just going to give you what your heart wants, but let me actually bless you. To the point where Charlie would drive into her school, she worked at her old school, she got a new job, and she would get mocked by other teachers. Oh, your nice car out there, what do you think? We're just like, we didn't pay 80 grand for it. The Lord blessed us. And it's been a great car for us. And my wife loves it. And I want to sell it, but she loves it, so we'll keep it. I remember finishing Bible college, and I was really tired because I had spent 3 years driving to Sydney and back every week and doing youth ministry on weekends, and then I was up there running big things up at the college. And I was feeling a bit tired, and I remember saying just to the Lord, I would really love to go and to relax on a tropical beach. Literally, that was my prayer. Just for a week. I kid you not, a couple of weeks later, a friend called me and said, what are you doing on this date? I said, nothing. He said, would you like to come on a free trip to Tonga for a holiday? Someone has just paid for me and a friend to go, and you can be my friend. I said, yeah, let's go. It was a male friend, by the way. Don't read into it. So I found myself, remember, I was going backwards by $50 a week, but I always had money in my account, and then I was on this all-expenses-paid holiday, which was just more than enough. The Lord knows where we're at, and His heart for us as a Heavenly Father is actually El Shaddai, more than enough. Listen, why is it that in the book of Acts, when the Lord moves, the Holy Spirit comes, that 3,000 people get saved in a day? Why isn't it, Lord, isn't it better that you gave the disciples more time to raise up leaders, raise up connects, raise up different things so that they could handle the growth? Isn't it better that we do this? And the Lord says, I am bigger than your structure. I'm even bigger than what you think you can handle. I am El Shaddai, more than enough. This is the blessing of the Father. This is the anointing of God. This is who God wants us to encounter when we encounter His heart. Here's a thought. I've got, if you can see this, I've got this. This is a full jar. And this over here, I don't know if the camera can zoom in or not. Maybe not. Or maybe it is. Here is a half full jar. Do you know that often we say, God, fill us up? And He goes, yes, I'll fill you up. And he fills us up, and we encounter him in his presence. We encounter his goodness. And he fills us up, and he fills us up. Do you know when you buy a bottle or a bottle of Coke from the supermarket, you know, have you noticed that it's never actually full? There's always a bit at the top. But that would say it's full. But the reality is this. You can't... Well, the way you measure fullness is overflow. The way you actually measure fullness is actually overflow. Why? Because while you can still be filled up, you're not full. But the minute you're full is when you start to overflow. So how do you know when you're full of God, church? It's when you are actually overflowing with God. So the Lord comes and he fills us up and he fills us up and he fills us up. And we think, oh, I feel like I'm so full. I feel like I'm so God. And God says, no, wait a second. You're not even full yet. There's still a little bit left. It might be the tiniest millimeter. And God says, wait a second, let me fill you up. And he fills us. Oh, do you see someone just overflow? He fills us up and El Shaddai just turned up. 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 And we encounter a God that says, do you know, church, do you know, people, that I will bless you, but I will cause you not just to be filled, I promise that, but you know that you're filled when you start to overflow. Do you know that you can measure fullness by overflow? Everything God does is over the top, more than enough, a surplus. Superabundant, overflowing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. That's great, God. That's great. But then God goes and says, I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to cause you to be overflowed with me. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That sounds nice. That sounds manageable. That sounds like a good, manageable life. No, running over. Will be put into your lap, for the measure you use will be measured back to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. We have the year of the Father's favor, but do you realize the Father's favor is the favor of overflow? It is not limited by you. Thank you, God. The blessing for this city can't be just because you are full of him. It has to be because you are overflowing with him. Oh, I'm preaching better than you guys are saying amen. The Holy Ghost is here. The power of God is here. And he's trying to prophetically shake us. Understanding that we can't be comfortable any longer. Check out Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. It says this. God is able to do immeasurably more and exceedingly abundantly, superabundantly. Why don't you say superabundantly? What a great word. That all that we ask or imagine, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Infinitely beyond your highest prayers. So you think you're praying big prayers. Or maybe you don't, maybe you should. He goes, you ask for fish, let me break the nets. You ask for fruit, let me cause it to be so heavy you can't carry it by yourself. You ask for a meal, let me give you a month's worth of meals. You ask for a move of God, let me give you 3,000 baby Christians in a day. You ask for revival, but do you know how messy it's going to be? Listen, we're great at asking for revival. We're great at asking for moves of God, but we have no idea the cost. Yeah. Yeah. We spend half our time trying to get people to just attend. There's no revival in that. Please just come to Connect. Please just come to church. Please just volunteer. Please just help. Please come to the Working Bee. There's no revival in that. Do you know that, church? Revival is a messy, net-breaking, boat-sinking moment that is scary because you think the boat's going to sink. You think your capacity has been stretched. You feel like you're falling apart at the seams because His glory is so heavy. So if we're going to pray these big prayers, let's be ready for what comes with it. It might mean some of us have to get to church early to get a seat. It might mean some of us have to get to church early to set up the seats. It might mean some of us have to actually get hungry and actually think, God, I want to be used by you. Even in my later years, I want to be used by you. And in my young years, I want to be used by you. God caused me to go for everything you have. But I know that my pastor told me that you are El Shaddai more than enough. And so my expectation from this day forward is that He will be a God of more than enough. And the enemy comes along and he tries to kick you and he tries to beat you down and get you to a place of just survival. That is his strategy all the time. And when you get to a place of just surviving, you are so far from more than enough. And the Father says, remember, I am the Lord Almighty, more than enough. This is how we must encourage each other. This is how we must speak to each other. I was saying to Pastor Joel this week, I said, has our church got such a faith that when people hear what God is saying, that they think, man, if I'm not there, I'm going to miss out? Because if we're not at that place, where's our faith? We must stop the culture of consumerism, which is I come along to church so that I might have my tummy full. And I love us and you enough to tell you this. And I'm going to tell it to my children. We don't come before the Lord just so we can have enough for our tummies. We come before Him to be poured out in His presence, to be overflowed by His glory, to know that He is a God of more than our prayers, more than our desires. We are not a just scraped by people. We are a glory people. We are an overflow people. We are, have you seen what God did when we couldn't do it? And He gave us the instruction, and now the nets are breaking, but we are excited. Holy Ghost, give us a fire to hear this in our spirit. The anointing of God is not one of just getting by. The anointing of God is one of, if you remember Psalms, oil flowing down the beard of Aaron. How blessed it is when the brethren are together in unity. It's like oil being poured down the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon his body, the anointing, the oil, the move of God, because we understand that God isn't contained by our small vessels. John 10:10, we know this scripture. The thief came that we might be ripped off. That's my paraphrase. But Jesus said He came that we might have life and life to the full. And it says this in John 10:10 in the Amplified. It says, the thief comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that you might have and enjoy life and have it abundantly, get this, to the full, till it overflows. This is the inheritance of God for us. Can I hear an amen? Oh, how awesome. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not a God of a poverty mindset, but you have blessed us with great blessings according to your needs in Christ, our needs in Christ Jesus, that you provide our needs, but you also cause us to be overflowers of that blessing. That's half my notes. But I'll finish with this example. With my little boy. I've taught him this. I taught him. I said, how much does Daddy love you? And he's learned this. He says, Daddy loves me this much. And he puts his arms all the way back as far as he can. And now he's turned that and he says to me, Daddy, do you know how much I love you? how much do you love me? I love you this much. And he goes as wide as he can. It's an example of the Father for you and I. We think he loves us this much. We think he loves us according to what we think we need. And his arms are so wide and so great and so expansive. What does the scripture say, church? It says, no eye has seen nor ear heard what the Lord has in store for those who trust him. What does it say? It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The expanse of the earth can't separate us from the love of God. It is so big. It's immeasurable. And whether it's the ridiculous size grapes in the promised land, whether it's the nets breaking and the boat sinking because of blessing, whether it's 12 basketfuls left over just because, it's the heart of the Father to do so. We need to make sure we repent of poverty mindsets. And what's a poverty mindset? It is, God, I'm just scraping through. God could never bless me like that. Remember who your Father is. Your Father is not a poor beggar. Amen. All of the earth declares his glory. The heavens declare his glory. If you want to see how big God is, go and look up, Google, how big space is now. And it's getting bigger every day. They reckon they can see now through telescopes a million years away worth of light. Oh, how does that work with creationism? You work it out. I'm not going to get into that. But it's big. It is big. By the way, I believe in creation. Don't worry. Just want to say that. But what I'm trying to say is God is humongous. And we are little specks of dust with air in our lungs, the breath of God. But we're little, and we're going to go back to dust. Right now, you're looking at sweaty dust. But I choose that while I have the breath of God, that I will declare his greatness. And I choose that I will declare it to every generation, whether you're gray-haired or whether you're a little baby in your mother's tummy, I will declare the greatness of God. And even with all that I am, it's still a tiny bit compared to his greatness. His glory, his majesty, his power, his mercy, the beauty of the Father. And so this morning, how do we respond to such a thing, such a message? Well, this is how I respond. Lord, I humble my heart again and I say, I exalt you, and I lift my hands again, and I say, you are great and greatly to be praised. You are holy, and all the earth declares your glory. And in my own way, what I can do is respond as a living sacrifice. So I give you in my heart in surrender. I give you my body. I give you my soul, everything I give to you. Take it, Lord. And the Lord says, cuddle, hug, embrace, come and sit at the table. Come on, come and sit at my table of royalty and sonship and family. We have to remember the greatness of our God, that he is El Shaddai, more than enough. And last thing I'll say, church, is this, because we've got to finish. As a church, let's have big faith. Already for next year, for for our church. I feel like God's starting to speak to me about our church for next year. I tell you, part of it is big faith. Believing God for big things, big breakthrough, big anointing, big moves of the Spirit. And we're so blessed because we have pastors who don't let us just get comfortable. I refuse. Not while most of our city doesn't know Christ. I refuse to be comfortable. Let's get comfortable in heaven. We can have a latte together in heaven. There's too much to do. God has mission for us still. God has anointing for us still. He has grace for us still. It's time for us to rise up together again. And you might not have as much energy as you did when you were young, but you still have some energy. And young person, you might not have the experience the older people have, but you still have some experience. So together we can be a family that sees the move of God in our city. But we have to get beyond our selfish needs sometimes. Whether we like the music or like the preaching or like the seats or whether the church is going to be too hot today or too cold, it doesn't matter that stuff. What matters is the greatness of His glory. So why don't we stand together? I'm just going to pray for us. Oh, Holy Spirit. We can be measured. Our fullness can be measured by its overflow. Why don't we close our eyes? Let's just respond to the Father. Can we just get just the band up? Let's just finish with some worship. Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray over us because I just feel like that there are some people in the room or online right now, and just close your eyes, just focus on the Holy Spirit for a moment. There are people in the room and you feel like you are bound by a poverty mentality. And what I mean by that is you feel like you're in a place of just getting by. And that actually might be your situation. You might just be getting by. But understand that God doesn't just fulfill your needs, He supersedes your needs. Listen, there's families in the room, interest rates are rising. My wife and myself, we had a conversation this weekend about our budget for next year. Our situation is changing. Our interest rates are going up. I'm a steward of our money. I want to make sure we're faithful, but I also have to have faith when it comes to our finance. So when it comes to even my heart, I have to remind myself that yes, we have needs, but I serve a God of El Shaddai. And I will not be bound by my experience. I will not be bound by my limitation when it comes to my mindset. Instead, Lord, help me know that You are El Shaddai more than enough. So Lord, right now, I just thank You that You are more than enough. I thank You that You are God Almighty, El Shaddai. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person here. I pray right now for an enlightenment, an awakening when it comes to a revelation of Your greatness. I pray right now, Lord, that You would cause us to be free when it comes to our mindset of how great You are. And Lord, right now, we just break any poverty mindsets, anything that our parents spoke over us or our generations before us. And we say, Lord, we have a fresh faith of more than enough. I pray when it comes to our finance, I pray, Lord, for a freedom and an expectation of Your blessing when it comes to more than enough. Lord, when it comes to our spiritual walk, Lord, that You would cause us to be more than conquerors. Lord, more than enough. Lord, when it comes to our energy and our physical bodies, a supernatural enabling today. Lord, that you'll cause us to have greater energy, greater resource, greater supernatural outpouring of more than enough. We break the poverty mentality. We break the poverty report. We break the things that say that you are small and you are not big enough. And we rebuke the doubts. We rebuke the fears. And we rebuke the things that hold us back. And we say, Lord, you are El Shaddai, more than enough. And we declare it over ourselves. And we declare it over our families. And we declare it over our church. And we say, Lord, you are more than enough. Show us your more than enough. Show us your El Shaddai. Oh, show us your heart. Lord, as we finish the year, may your favor flow. The Father's favor, more than enough, flow in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for promotions. I pray for restoration of relationships. I pray, Lord God, that you will come and you will cause an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Help us to see you for the greatness of who you are. And we repent for our small-mindedness. And we say, have your way in our city. Break the nets, God. Break the boats, God. Cause the grapes to grow large. Let there be leftover baskets filled with your provision. Why? Just because. Just because it's who you are. This week, church, every day I want you to declare El Shaddai. When you pray with your family this week, declare, Lord, you are the El Shaddai. You are more than enough. When you pray individually, declare, Lord, you are El Shaddai. You are more than enough. And let's start to declare as a church community that he is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. That's his name, more than enough. Father, I thank you. And if you're here with your spouse, take them by the hand. If you're here by yourself, just lift your hands to heaven. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father, right now, we just pray your blessing upon every one of our church community. Lord, we thank you that you are stirring the hearts of your people. We thank you, Lord God, that you are preparing us for a greater moment, a greater outpouring, a greater touch of heaven. And Father, I pray that we would get a revelation this week of more than enough, El Shaddai. God, I pray there'll be testimonies of El Shaddai this week in our church and in our city. God, that we would have a move of El Shaddai type moments. More than enough. Overwhelming favor, overwhelming blessing. Why? Because it's your heart and it's who you are. Oh, Lord, we honor you. I pray your protection over every person in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, if you want more prayer, come down the front after service. Otherwise, have a great Sunday. And we'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.